Hello and welcome to the Food for Kids podcast. I'm Joanne from the Foodies. On today's episode, I'm talking to Dr. Kirsty Porter from Nutrition for Kids in Northern Ireland. Kirsty's a registered children's dietitian with over 15 years of experience helping parents overcome mealtime and feeding challenges. She specialises in supporting fussy eaters and sensory eaters, and she offers evidence-based but practical advice that really fits with family life. When we're talking about why children can be hesitant around new foods or have a limited repertoire of foods, there are obviously a whole bunch of reasons that come up. I talked about quite a few of them in an episode about 2 weeks ago. And over time, we're going to be looking at lots of them in more detail on the show and seeing how we can help our children. But one of the ones that comes up really regularly is around sensory issues with food. Kirsty does a lot of work in her practice with sensory issues, and she has a specialist program about it in partnership with an occupational therapist, or OT for short. In the context of children's food, occupational therapists work on the physical mechanics of eating, so all of the motor skills of chewing, swallowing, the muscles in the jaw and face and so on. And then Kirsty works on all of the family dynamics, the mealtime environment and, of course, the nutritional side of things. So I thought she'd be a great person to ask about sensory eating. So here's that interview. So Kirsty, what does it mean to have a sensory issue with food, and how would someone be able to work out if that's what's going on in their child's eating rather than something else?
So sensory eating issues with children around food can be in terms of the difficulty they have processing the way that either food feels or smells or even sounds. So eating isn't just about eating actually the food, which I think often people focus on the taste, but there's actually 8 senses. So for some kids, then the way foods feel in their mouth, how it smells, or even the way it looks on a plate can make it feel very overwhelming for them or even threatening. And that's where the challenges come from. So for some parents listening to this, you might notice signs like gagging or spitting out food due to the texture, extreme preferences to certain textures. So in clinic, I have lots of children who don't eat dry or crunchy foods, or they'll avoid multiple texture foods, or say they'll only have liquid versions of foods or wet foods or the opposite. They might avoid entire food groups. They can get very distressed at mealtimes or even refuse to sit at the table, or they want to have the same foods on repeat. So that's the main difference with sensory challenges, is that their reactions tend to be consistent around the sensory properties of food, rather than your child's moods or preferences. The resistance is strong, ongoing, and it's not swayed by things like hunger, there's more than likely a sensory component at play.
So if a child is consistently gravitating towards a certain kind of texture or look, and you can see those patterns, that might be a bit of a clue towards the fact that it might be a sensory issue.
Yes, very much so. And as you've tried lots of different things and nothing's actually helping, and over time the problem just keeps getting worse and worse. And then the worst case scenario is where kids have the same foods on repeat. It's a thing called food gagging, where then they start to reject that limited range of foods that they have. It becomes even worse as well.
Okay, so that's when people talk about my child will only eat beige food. That's because beige food is predictably probably got a crumb on it, probably has some crunchies, probably soft on the inside. And it's that predictability of the texture.
Well, that's it, potentially, yes. And because it's kind of beige foods, next to them are carbohydrates, so they fuel your kid's body with energy. So that's why they like them, and then that predictability. But also because most of those foods are more processed, they're easier to chew, so they require less effort. So that's why in particular, like younger kids, like toddlers, that tends to be their preference. So that might be a sensory issue in itself. They're easy, they're predictable. Exactly as you said, like parents will say to me, Kirsty, you only have one brand of sausages, one brand of chicken nuggets. If you try and deviate or change it, or if the manufacturer changes how it's made and what it tastes like, it's an absolute refusal, and they will have meltdowns because they know that those foods are different.
And that's in terms of like taste and texture, but what other sensory things can come in? I think as parents, we tend to focus on what's on their plate, and we don't necessarily think about all the other sensory inputs. So what else can come into it?
It could be the smell of foods as well in that kind of environment. So if you're kind of sitting eating your dinner that's near where the food's been made, so particular like things like people say to me, if we cook fish, it's an absolute nightmare. Our child just has a meltdown because they smell it, they don't like it. So actually, it's the smell around foods as well. And then going back to those 8 senses, so how they view the world around them and how they process things and things like their stability. So actually for them, if they're not sitting upright, support in an appropriate chair, they start to then fatigue because they're having so much energy and effort to keep themselves upright. And that's where then the food refusal comes, and that kind of, I want to get out of here, and they want to escape the mealtime as quickly as possible. Or even Some kids you'll say, oh, they're so badly behaved because we can't get them to sit down. They run around not stopping, but that's because if they're overwhelmed, that kind of regulation is that how they control things, that's how they feel safe. So then sitting down, being forced to not move for a long period of time is their worst fear and their worst environment, and that's why there is those meltdown at meal times and they will not come to the table and they won't eat.
So it's a way of them being able to process and deal with the sensory overload that they've got, is that if they either move or don't move or sit in a different way, it enables them to at least shut down some of that overload.
Yes, so it's about creating those sensory friendly meal times. When I work with families, I'd be like, right, what are your main kind of challenges with each of the senses? So they do like a wee checklist, and then we'll create a profile to say, right, they have this heightened sense of taste, they have the sight and taste of smell, so this is how we can do at the meal times to kind of change that environment to make it more friendly. And that would be where you'd have like regular breaks or letting them kind of be active before, during and after the meals, so you kind of tailor it towards your own child, because every child is different in terms of the senses and how they react in terms of that heightened or that lowered response as well. And I think as parents, you want the best for your kids and you want your kids to eat, and your ultimate goal is, I want my child to try a new food, and you're so focused on that, hundreds of steps to get before that. So we need to create that safe and that comfortable environment. So actually my priority when you work with kids is making sure that they're not feeling overwhelmed, meeting them where they're at and getting them comfortable around food. And once you do that, that's the game changer. But it's very much a step-by-step approach.
If you're a parent and you're listening to this and you're thinking, that sounds like my child, what would be the first thing you would suggest that parent to do like this week with their meals?
So my best advice would be take the pressure off immediately. So it's also my experience that's fundamentally where meal times are going wrong, and getting your kids to try new foods is that pressure. So take the pressure off immediately. So what that means on a practical basis, so at your next meal, sit down with your child, offer the food calmly and let them decide if they want to eat the food. And even if they don't eat a bite, that's okay, because you're starting to build trust again. And then outside the meal times, there's lots of things that you can do. So actually my experience when I work with parents is, right, we're going to do lots of things and it's away from the dinner table initially. So my big thing, and I know you're passionate about this as well, Joanne, is playing with food together. So things like simple things like finger painting with yogurts, making food art, or playing pretend games with toy foods. That's the game changer, is getting your kids comfortable around foods away from the meal time and creating that calmer, more relaxed meal times where they want to come to the dinner table and they're not feeling sensory overloaded. So they will, when they're comfortable and when they're ready, start to try new foods.
Okay, so it's just really rolling it back to, how can we make meal times a place where everybody wants to be before we start worrying about actually the food that's being eaten?
Exactly. So actually, what my parents are quite surprised whenever I'm like, write your homework this week, is you all take turns picking songs and you play a song before you start. That signals that that's the meal time's coming, and you play it for 30 seconds and you have fun and you dance it off. And actually it transforms the meal times, because everybody's relaxed and they're having fun and they're not dreading coming to the meal times, because they're not going to hear mum and dad being like, come on now, one more wee bite, come on now, try this. And all of a sudden they're like, what's going on here? And they start to be like, okay, this is okay. I'm not going to have pressure, and actually we're just sitting together, we're enjoying food, and actually they start to become more comfortable. Now, this isn't overnight, but over time they'll start to try foods when they've overcome their fear.
I like that idea of bringing some music into it, because that's focusing your energy onto a different sense as well, isn't it?
That's it. But there's also kids that have sensory challenges. Probably the most common ones would be neurodivergent kids. And actually for them, noise is a big no-no for them. So they can't cope with lots of background noise. So actually for them, it might be then, you know, they need earphones on. And so then I have a dynamic where I would talk about family fun nights. So you'd have like, you pick a different country of the world. You pick a food that's quite popular in that country, but you still have your kids' safe foods alongside that. And then you kind of do some research. So tell us about the top foods in that country. You say mum and dad, and that, and then you put on like the colours of the flag, and again you pick the music. So I'm obsessed with Korean and Asian food at the minute, so I'd be like, I love K-pop, so I'd be like, put on BTS or, you know, whoever you like. And all of a sudden they're learning something new, and together as a family you're having fun, and it totally changes the dynamics of your meal time, because it's like a fact finding, you're exploring foods, but there's no pressure for them to try, but they can still be part of it.
Oh, that sounds really fun. I like that idea. So if people want to find out more about these suggestions that you have, like, I'll put all your links in the show notes. But don't you actually have a sensory eaters program for people who think this might describe their church?
Yes. So because I've come across lots of different families and I want to help, and actually because one-to-ones can be quite expensive for a lot of parents, so I work with Grace, a lovely OT. So whenever it comes to sensory challenges around food, I kind of focus on, you know, the dietetic, the nutrition kind of aspect, and then Grace, the OT, is about, right, how to do sensory regulation, how to cook, get your children prepared when they're going out for meals outside of the home, for instance. So we've created an online program, and it's literally a self-paced, step-by-step program. So we look and identify what are the challenges that you're experiencing at meal times and feeding challenges, then creating that sensory profile, and based off the back of that, parents then create a personalised action plan to help them. So it's all practical, it fits into busy family lives. So it's all simple, small steps that you can do to help overcome your challenges that you're facing. So it's self-paced, and you can do it from the comfort of your own home. And we give you all the tips, and then you can always get in touch if you have any questions as well.
That sounds great. So I'll pop a link to that in the show notes.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kirsty. I really enjoyed that conversation, and I like how Kirsty makes her think about what our child needs to be able to balance themselves off before being relaxed enough to eat, whether that's energetic music to run off tension or the opposite, headphones to reduce the stimulus. And of course, the whole idea of taking food work away from the table so that you can make the mealtime relaxed again is right up my street. So I'll put Kirsty's links in the show notes. She actually has a separate specific Instagram feed for sensory eating content. On Thursday, it's a quick episode with 5 easy and family-friendly meals to use up some of that July seasonal produce. So I hope to see you then. And in the meantime, happy eating.